Do you have a launch or a sale coming up? If so, you might be a little bit nervous about the idea that sending out emails about your launch or sale will actually make some people unsubscribe. This does happen for sure. And in today's episode, we're going to share exactly why that happens and how you can reduce the possibility of losing email subscribers during a launch or a sale. So let's dig in. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. Today, the topic of how not to lose email subscribers during a launch or sale is especially important for small to medium-sized businesses. And the reason for that is that you'd spend a lot of time and effort growing that list. It probably wasn't easy when you started to grow it initially. You probably had to create an email opt-in or introduce a discount to try and entice people if you sell products. You probably tried a lot of different ways to grow that list. And you want to keep it warm. You want to make sure that it is primed to sell to, and you don't want to lose potential customers or clients from that list just because of poorly sent or overwhelming emails during a launch or a sale. And we'll talk about what that might mean, overwhelming, poorly sent, in just a minute. Let's start out by putting ourselves in the minds and the experiences of these email subscribers, because I imagine you are on some email lists yourself and you do get sales emails during Christmas, during Black Friday, during the January sales. If you live in Europe, I know January is a really big time, or you've just noticed that there are some launches that happen over and over again from service providers, maybe business coaches that you follow, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. Some reasons it might be overwhelming that you might relate to are just the sheer number of emails. If it's just constantly coming your way, it might feel genuinely just annoying. The other thing is, if they're not relevant to you, you know, if you've already bought the product or service and so you don't need to buy it again, or if you are a woman and you're not interested in men's clothing, maybe, you know, there's no one that you're planning to buy it for anyways, but that's all you're getting. You know, there's really easy ways to kind of alienate your email audience or to annoy them to the point that they actually want to unsubscribe during a sale. They might also have set a really strong budget for themselves and they're sticking to it. Maybe they've decided they're going to invest with you, but in a few months. So if you're constantly bombarding them right now or tempting them with emails, they might just take themselves off your list and it might actually damage that relationship and that trust. So they may not end up buying next quarter like they were planning to. So some of these factors are outside of your control. You don't know what your ideal customer or client's particular money situation is. You don't know exactly who they would be buying gifts for. You can imagine, especially if you've done ideal client avatar research or you've actually surveyed your customers, but there are certain things that you can anticipate, and we want to be creating sales emails during a launch or a sale that really take these potential factors into mind. We want to avoid overwhelming them. We want to avoid annoying them. And we also want to avoid alienating them and making them think that your business isn't for them. So the first tip for not losing email subscribers during a launch or sale actually starts before launch or sale season. And that is to be consistent with your content before you actually start sending sales material at them. So if they signed up for monthly newsletters that were supposed to be value add, that were, you know, sharing the blog post with them or an upcoming YouTube video or letting them know about the latest podcast or the latest news in your industry, then you should be sharing that with them on that consistent basis. So that's what they know your email's for. It's a value add to them. It's not asking for something from them constantly, especially for money. And then when you actually do share with them a sales opportunity or that you're launching something or that you have a discount, they're more likely to open that email anyway because they're used to it and they trust you. They're used to hearing from you and they do tend to open your emails. But also they'll be warmed up because you've been nurturing them with that good value. And so it's probably time for them to give a little bit of value back. Also, they know the value you share for free, so it must be even better if they're paying you for it. So it's really, really important to be consistent with your content marketing in the weeks and even months before you're going to be launching something like a sale or a new program. Really, really, really important. You should always be consistent before and after a launch or a sale, because people also don't want to feel like you got money out of them and then you kind of ghosted them. You're not giving them any of that value anymore. Really, really important to be consistent. The second tip is not to oversend emails. This is true both during the launch or sale and in general. And there's no magic formula. There's no magic number of emails that you should or should not be sending. So how do you figure out what's right for you and your audience? Well, first of all, what did they sign up for? Did you offer them a weekly newsletter, a monthly newsletter? So they've consented to that, and that's what they were asking for. So if you promise them that, not only should you be consistent and send them that weekly newsletter or do your very best to stick to it, but also you don't want to start sending them multiple emails per week, because that is more than what they agreed to and expected. This is the same thing with monthly. You just compare it. If you said monthly only and you're sending them every single week, maybe that's okay if you've increased your frequency and you've also let them know that you're going to be doing that in the first one of the weekly emails, but you definitely don't want to go from monthly to a gazillion in a single week just because of a sale, right? Now, you do want to increase the number of emails you're going to send during a sale, partly out of courtesy to remind them when the sale is ending, for example. So the number is going to be higher than usual, but if you're only sending them a monthly newsletter, chances are you should play it a little bit cool when it comes to those sales too. So not sending them, you know, 5 emails in a row over 3 days when they're used to getting something from you once a month. Maybe 4 to 5 emails in a few days if they're used to hearing from you once a week is a little bit more aligned. So just be really thoughtful about it. Whatever decision you go with in terms of the number of emails and the frequency, be really mindful of it and consider what your ideal audience had already accepted, what your email subscribers consented to and asked you for. Some other things to consider are if they recently signed up for a freebie or a product trial. So these are people who are really, really warm, who have asked you for something extra and even a higher touch, especially if it's a product trial. So they're going to be more receptive in general to you sending a couple more emails than the rest of the audience. The audience that's been on your list for a while and they just kind of open every other email from you, they're not going to be as receptive to a whole bunch of emails in a row as that really recent sign up from someone who is asking for a high value piece of content is going to be. So usually that's product trials, software trials, recent discount code signups, recent signups in general, especially if they've also asked for a freebie that might have a welcome sequence associated with it, right? So they are expecting from you, because you told them in the welcome email, now that we've delivered your freebie, you're going to hear from me, you know, maybe 3 times over the next few days to make sure you get all the value out of it. Well, then you're also setting them up to expect more frequent contact. So consider those factors. Another factor to consider is if they click through on one of your sales emails, because that signals intent or interest in your products or services that are for sale. So this is getting into a little bit more of an individualized follow-up. It doesn't mean sending out necessarily a one-to-one email, but you might make use of an abandoned cart sequence if you're a product owner, for example. So you do want to make sure that you are nurturing that interested party to try and help them essentially match themselves with a product or service, because they're thinking about it. They might just need a reminder before the discount code expires or before the program launch ends, and they might actually be disappointed if they didn't get a reminder. So that does indicate a little extra frequency on their part. The other factor is, what technique are you using in that launch email sequence, for example? So if you're really mindfully using a technique like the sales colors, then each of the emails in that sequence has a really specific purpose. They're meeting people at different places on their psychological journey. They might need different pieces of evidence. Maybe some people prefer social proof or testimonials, and others prefer that really compelling story of someone who's been in a similar situation to them to purchase. So if you're doing a couple of emails in a row with a lot of intention, and a piece of that is that they're not all the exact same thing. They're not just a gazillion reminders, but they're actually adding value in their own unique ways. They're testing different psychological motivators for someone. Then it makes sense to have a few more emails in general. The third tip is incredibly valuable, and I'm seeing more and more service-based business owners, and actually specifically copywriters, using this technique. I really hope more and more people do this. And that is to give your subscribers the opportunity to opt out of emails just about the sale or launch. So it gives them a way of making quiet this particular topic that they're not interested in, that they've decided now isn't the right time for, whatever that reason is, without feeling like they need to get themselves off of your email list entirely. This is a really, really valuable tool. So you can do this. I prefer it when I see it at the very top of an email, but I also have seen people try it at the very bottom of an email. The problem is there, you might annoy them a little bit too soon throughout the emails before they even realize that's an option. They might not read the whole email. The only way that maybe I would say put it at the end of an email, the opportunity to opt out of the specific topic, is really, really, really close to where they would hit unsubscribe at the bottom of an email. So that way they actually see both things and they pick ideally just to unsubscribe from this category of emails, this particular launch, this particular sale. So here are some example phrases. They can be super simple, like, click here to stop hearing about the sale. You can also acknowledge that they might change their minds in the future. So I understand if now is not the right time, or if you're absolutely sure that now is not the right time, click here to stop hearing about this specific launch, the name of the launch or this round of intake, something like that. A third option would be to really acknowledge that they think of themselves already as an expert in that area, especially if you're a service provider or a business coach particularly. I think that would be super, super handy. But let's say that you are a business coach and this program you're launching is to help people improve their sales. So when you give them the option to opt out at the top of an email, you could say something like, already hitting 10K months? Click here to opt out of this launch and we'll be back in your inbox soon with tips specific to them. So whatever their next goal is with how to get to the next level, it could be that vague, but what it does is it acknowledges their experience, their expertise, shows them that they still belong in your audience, even though maybe this offer is a little bit too basic. So you can really play with acknowledging different pieces of their personalities. Maybe they've set themselves a goal and now is not the time. Maybe it's a little bit too early stage for them, or maybe it's way too far ahead in their journey. You can play with acknowledging that, but I would still keep all of these fairly short. I've seen some that turn into whole paragraphs that are almost more like justifying why you're sending an email about a sale or about a launch, which goes into some strange psychological territory. So I would just keep it super short and sweet and give them the option to opt out, but keep on your email list. The fourth and final tip is also a good one to start looking at before a launch or a sale is coming up. But in general, you can set this up at any time because really a lot of people, especially small to medium-sized business owners, don't do this when they start. Segmentation, that's what we're going to talk about in a second. But at any point, it's going to be valuable to you. So even if you've just finished a launch or a sale, you can still use that opportunity to segment your list. So what is email list segmentation? Basically, you're going to identify parts of your email subscriber base, groups of them that have different profiles. And so you can send more targeted emails to them for specific profiles. So some classic ways are, of course, demographics and psychographics. So maybe you create profiles based on someone's age. Maybe it's based on their location, particularly if you're product-based or you only offer certain products or services depending on the province, for example. Maybe there's regulations around the types of services you can offer because you work in a more regulated field like finance, for example. This can really help you with making sure that the content that they're getting and even the whole sales and launch cycle that they're getting is relevant to them. Maybe they also self-identify in their welcome email. Maybe they have to click on whether they consider themselves an early stage business owner, an expert business owner, or someone looking to become a business coach themselves, for example. And if they click on one of those three categories, automatically the offers you're going to be sharing with each of them is very, very different. And you've made sure that each email subscriber does fit into each of those categories. Now, where they are might change over their lifetime as a subscriber, but there's going to continue to be opportunities for them to opt in and opt out of things if you've taken some of the earlier tips to make sure that they're always more or less in the right segment for their interests. Another way to segment is by behavior. So are they a past client or customer of yours? Well, then you can send them a very different series of emails than if they are brand new to your list. In some ways, that is such a ripe opportunity. If you have warm past clients, it's usually better to send them a personalized email to try and get them to go ahead and take advantage of your launch or your sale. Maybe they have just opted into a lead magnet, and the lead magnet ties in really, really, really well with the launch you have going on now. So you write a specific email that you send out to any recent recipients, or maybe people who have ever downloaded that specific lead magnet, that acknowledges it, how it was the first step or a little taste, and now it's time to take everything they learned from it and put it into action with more accountability, with more resources, take it to the next level. So there's lots of different ways that you can create custom emails depending on behavior. And those can be things like lead magnets, where you've been gathering that and organizing them the whole time for the last few months. Or it could be during a launch, when you can see that there's certain groups of people who are clicking and clicking and clicking, and you can really create some more targeted emails to try and get those seriously interested people to go ahead and purchase. And that's where we talked a little bit about things like abandoned cart earlier. So that's a really, really powerful tool. Segmentation can take a little bit of time and a little bit of practice, but one easy way to start is, of course, to get people to, on a welcome email, click one of the identifiers of your three buyer personas. So the example we gave earlier, someone who's early stage, who considers themselves an expert, or who wants to become a business coach themselves. Or you can do this with demographic features. If you, for example, always ask people to select whether they're interested in your women's clothing section or your men's clothing section, then you can always easily segment at least those two groups. You might do that by age as well, but then you have to make sure that you're asking for birthdays when people are signing up for your email list. So it's always better to start now. You might have wished now that you could have gone back into the past and started a long time ago, but it's never, ever too late to make use of segmentation. It's really the future of sales in a lot of ways, because it's much more individualized. Even though you can be speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people, it still feels more individualized, and people are more likely to take action on your launch or your sale. So those are your four tips on how not to lose email subscribers during a launch or a sale. Please let me know which of these four tips were new for you, or are you going to try one of them? I'd love to hear that in the comments on YouTube. So if you're on the podcast version, be sure to click on the link in the show notes so you can go check out the YouTube version as well. And vice versa, if you're on YouTube, you'll be able to get the podcast link in the description box below. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll talk to you in about 2 weeks. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. Today's episode was written by me, Emma, and produced by Berta Wired. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Content and Copy. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. Speak to you in 2 weeks on another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.